For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome. We're on chapter 62. We'll just go back two verses. That's where the... it's not directly related, but sometimes they're read together because it's a very joyous announcement towards the end of in the talking of redemption and talking about what eventually will happen. This expression we use often where we talk about rejoicing or happiness. It's this soth asis, which means like it's whenever something is double in Hebrew, it's emphasis. Like, I will really rejoice. And then we rejoice in Hashem. That's very much a person when they realize the love that Hashem has for him and the personal connection and the protection and the relationship we have with Hashem. So we rejoice in that. We're very happy about that. We're very fortunate. And my soul is happy inside because he's my God. He's personal. He cares about me as a person. He's there to support me. Then it describes clothing ourselves in something. In other words, putting something on. And clothing are external things, but we can clothe ourselves in garments of redemption. I wish I could go to the store and pick one of those out. I'll take the redemption garment. And I like the tzedakah one, too. We go through different things in life. In a certain way, it's like changing one's clothing. We like different... even though part of what we do is that we have to work on controlling our moods. There are times to be happy and there are times to rejoice. And then there's, you know, as King Solomon talks about, the different times, that there's different times. This month, for example, the month of Adar is a time to rejoice. It's a time to... So a person can turn that on or clothe himself in a rejoicing mode. And rejoicing, though, comes together with tzedakah. When a person is able to give to others, when he's able to, you know, be a tzaddik or a tzaddikus and deal righteously. And then it describes the groom and the kohen. And there's a certain, we talked about the idea that they both get forgiveness. That when a person is, a person can put his sins behind him. When he can, the Kohen on Yom Kippur, he's able to make atonement for the previous year, and there's a purity. And real happiness comes from that, when you can put your mistakes behind you, when you could be like the groom and like the bride, starting out fresh. And so that's all described over here. We're going to see this theme in the next part also, that our relationship with Hashem is fresh. We don't have to focus on the past. In so many times that we've tried to do better and we sinned, or what we did, we're like a bride and a groom. We're starting out fresh. Also, the concept of a spouse, that a person has one person who they're most loyal to, Hashem is the third party in that spouse, and we're going to see that often he's either we're the bride or he's the groom or he's the bride. We find that metaphor because he's our partner. He's with us all the time. He's loyal to us, and we see that kind of imagery. Now, we live in a harsh world, which isn't yet at the redemption, and so he describes it like a seed coming forth. Often in the springtime, I think about that. You know, it's good to look around now. The trees are still pretty dark and dingy, and one more storm or one more rain, and then hopefully the spring will be here, and all of a sudden it'll be like the whole world is singing, just like the earth will give forth its seeds, and like the gardens. That's the same way that it's underground, and even though we don't see it, we know it's going to happen. So too, redemption will just spring forth one day, just like the spring will. Kein Hashem Elokeinu, and so too Hashem our God, Yatzmiach Tzedakah. And we're waiting for righteousness. We live in a world where there's the opposite of righteousness, where people take advantage of others, where there's robbery, where there's abuse. And instead, we look for a world where there'll be righteousness, where there'll be tzedakah, where there'll be kindness and love, neged kol hagoyim, and it'll be open for all the nations to see. So that's the picture of the redemption that he paints in those last two verses. Just had to do those again. They're such a nice concept.
Yeah.
The next verse is fascinating. A lot of people use this for imagery in letters that they write. For the sake of Zion, I will not be quiet. You've probably heard that before. That's where it comes from. Laman Sion, for the sake of Sion. Lo Eshai, will not be quiet. Laman Yushalayim, and for the sake of Yushalayim, lo Eshkot. That's the same word as Sheket. I will not Sheket, refuse to be quiet. No, I won't be quiet. For Yushalayim, I won't be quiet. I can't let it, until what? Ad Sheyetze Kanoga Tzedakah. It's so interesting that he keeps on talking about the righteousness flourishing. Like it, We live in a world where there isn't a lot of righteousness, but we want it to flourish. We want it to come out. We want it to spring forward. Just like the flowers blossom, the righteousness will blossom. For Yeshua so, and it'll burn like a torch. Just like a torch, it lights from one from another, and it's bright, and it's full of energy. So too, that's the era that we look forward to, where the righteousness will just spring forward. So the question that a lot of people ask is, what is Zion? In other words, we know what Yushalayim is. But what is Zion? So there are different opinions about, unless somebody wants to suggest what it is, what Zion is.
My book says Zion and Yerushalayim, the terms are synonymous. Kim, please.
Okay. Well, you could have assumed that they were two different things, because he says for the sake of Zion and the sake of Yerushalayim, or you could have said that those are two metaphors for the same thing. Some people learn the word Zion itself means a sign or a monument. That's what the word Zion is. Zion means a monument or a sign. What does it mean, a sign? It means that somebody is... As a people, we're supposed to be like the oldest child, the one that leads the way, the one that shows responsibility, the one that takes the younger children in hand and shows them, you know, this is how mom and dad want you to behave, or this is what we're supposed to do. So the word being a sign means we're supposed to spread the word about righteousness and truth and belief in Hashem. And what people don't realize is we have done that. The world, the pagan world, was very brutal. A lot of the things that our society does, where they take care of the poor and they take care of the handicapped, and or at least they claim to, or at least in theory they say it's a good thing to do so. The ancient societies would throw out people to die if they weren't the handicapped and the vanquished and the ideas of morality and of many of them came from the Jew and the belief in one Hashem. We were a sign. We were and we spawned the other religions. The Islam and Christianity came out of our. They liked what we were showing. In other words, but they tried to adapt it to their circumstances, and they adulterated. They played with it a little bit too much. But there's certain basic ideas that our society accepts. Came from the Jewish people, exposure to the Jewish people, the Judeo-Christian ideas. But the idea is that we should be a sign, an example to people, what's the proper way. That's one way. So Sion means a sign or a guide. And like I said, it's used, the word Sion itself means a monument. Sometimes there was a marker. It's a Sion. And so Israel is supposed to be it means that we're supposed to be an example of the right way to be. Now, why they chose that for the name of Israel, there was a debate. Why it was Zionism? Why did they call it Zionism? Like, it's a funny, they could have chose Israelism, or they could have chose Judaism, or they could have, they had some people got in a room and had a vote. They were looking for a word. It's not connected to the historical term. It was a brand new term. No one had ever thought of calling Zionism. It didn't exist. It was coined in about 100.
Was it Herzl's
time? I'm not sure. It was. It could have been his, or it could have been one of the early groups that met. I had heard that there was a fellow named Nathan Birnbaum was the one that coined the term Zionism. And the interesting thing was, he ended up becoming ultra-Orthodox in the end. He was the only one of the founders of Zionism. He was one of these people that had tried many different types of, he was a socialist, and then he was a Zionist, and then, but that's one idea of Zion, of what Zionism means. Other people learned that it means, it either could mean for the Jewish people here. In other words, for the sake of the Jewish people and for the sake of Yerushalayim. So you might say the Jewish people and Yerushalayim are the same thing. Yes, they are, but it means for the sake of having a city that represents the Jewish people. So those would be the two. So Zion and Yerushalayim are the Jewish people and Yerushalayim. In some context, it refers to Torah. It is a big discussion over here. What is Zion? Who exactly is Zion and who exactly is Yerushalayim? So, either way, even if it represents Torah or the Jewish people, whatever it represents, it's something important. It's something the world has to hear. And so, we have a very important mission in life. We can't just go to sleep and be quiet, check it. No, we won't be quiet. It's important that our message come out, and he says it's going to come out in full light. Kanoga. Kanoga is like a like the really strong light. That's how the righteousness and the light will come out. Now, when the truth comes out, when it'll be evident to the whole world, world goyim tzidkeik, the nations, all the nations of the world will realize it, and their leaders, v'kol malachim kavodeich. And all the kings who are used to be worried about their own glory will then think about the glory of Hashem. V'kor lecha shem chadash. And they'll look at the Jewish people differently. They'll get a new name. And we'll see in a second what that name is. Asher pi Hashem, that this will be the name, not like an anti-Semitic name, not like a name that they call us, the dirty Jew, whatever it is, but they will look at the Jewish people differently. Verse 3. Vayisi ateres tiferes biyad Hashem, and the exile has been a difficult experience. Where it's mentioned in the Torah that the nations will jeer at us, the Jew will be a dirty name, and when the Messianic times comes, it'll be the opposite, that they will respect us and they will look up to us. And it won't be something we're ashamed of to be a Jew. It's something we can hold our heads up high. It'll be a crown. A crown is when you hold your head up because you want to show that you're wearing the crown. B'yad Hashem, utznuf melucha b'kaf elokayach. And it's a person will be wearing the. It's like he's carrying the sign of Hashem. Now what? Will the nations? What's fascinating is that he predicted the gullus. He predicted the exile, and this is exactly what the Christians say, many of them say that we're rejected and that we're abandoned, and they have different reasons why. Now he says, don't worry, the time will come when they won't do that anymore. Lo yomer lecha od azuva. People will no longer say, "Oh, the Jewish people, they're old. They were rejected. They didn't accept our Lord. Whatever it is." They would, but the interesting thing is the Christians have this too, and they never read it. You know, it's like that idea that the children of Israel will be called rejected. They will no longer say that, and people will say that our land was desolated as a punishment for whatever reason. It won't be desolated anymore, and instead of calling us rejected, they will say ki lach yikra chesedba. The new name will be desirable. In other words, everybody will see that Hashem cares and shows his special attention to the Jewish people. And what about the land of Israel? Instead of being abandoned and being a desert, ulartzech ba'ula, people will say that Eretz Yisrael is the place to be. Ki chafetz Hashem bach, and Hashem wants you. They won't say Hashem has rejected you, Hashem doesn't want your service. Va'artek tivo, and you will be married to Hashem. Hashem will be your husband, so to speak. He'll be our man. We will be the loyal spouse to Hashem. We want that Hashem's presence should reside with us. We want him to be our man. We want him to be the one, we want to represent him in this world, and we want him to come down and feel his more intense presence. Like it's like somebody's not home. You have a house where sometimes there's the master of the house home, is the owner of the house home. And right now, the master of the house is in the heavens, so to speak. He doesn't represent himself in this world in a direct fashion. And so he's saying when the time will come when Hashem will be home, he'll be there, he'll be staying in our house. He will be, ki yivo bocha besula. Now, just like a young man marries a young woman, the bride-groom imagery, but yavlucho banayich, your children will come back to you, or they will live in you. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, umasas chasen al kala, and it'll be like a bride and groom. It'll be like a new wedding. Yasi talayk elokayk, and your God will rejoice in you. That's the and again, just like a bride and groom have a new start. There's so many times in life that we can't enjoy the future because we get too hung up on the past, and Hashem, you know, there is a concept of tshuva. It means that people do change, and they are different. And in our minds, sometimes we don't allow that to happen. We don't realize that people are different and they could change. And there's a time when you remember the past, and then there's a time where you have to move forward. And so it says that Hashem will treat us just like a brand new marriage, a new wedding. Verse 6. Al-Chamosayich, they have some very pretty songs that they've used this verse over here. When I grew up, I remember a few of them. But once Hashem comes, Hashem, basically we will find favor in Hashem's eyes again. But you know, we've been there, done that. Hashem came to us, Hashem's presence was with us at the first temple, and then he left. Then he got tired, we abandoned him and he left us. And then we came back, and his presence came back, and then we blew it again. So now Hashem is here. There'll be a third time when Hashem will come back to the Jewish people, a new wedding, a new... So how do we know he's going to stay? So what guarantee will there be that the Yerushalayim won't fall again? So Hashem says that this time when we build the walls, he's going to appoint watchmen. Al-Chamosayich Yerushalayim, on your walls, Yerushalayim, Hifkadati, I will appoint Shomrim, watchmen. Kol hayom v'kol ha'ayla, all day and all night. Tami lo yakshu amaskir mes Hashem. And they will constantly be on the watch and remembering Hashem. Al tidami lachem, and they won't be silent. So there's a question, who are these watchmen? Some people say they are the righteous people of different generations that watch and protect the Jewish people, that in their merit, in the... sometimes people get frustrated because they feel like they're the only ones doing the right thing. They should be so happy that they feel that they're doing the right thing. In other words, the fact that they see that others aren't doing the right thing, that shouldn't make a person depressed. In fact, the fact that a person is aware that there are right things to do and that not everybody does them, that should make a person realize how fortunate he is that Hashem gave us that knowledge to want to do what's right. And be the watchmen, and be the ones that are keeping up the guard. That's what makes it so special. It's not a reason to be frustrated. It's a reason the person is fortunate if they're able to be the watchmen, if they're able to keep an eye out. When the Second Temple was rebuilt, there were a number of times where the nations that were there tried to stop the rebuilding. And so they had to actually build with one hand and hold their weapons with the other. Boy, would that be difficult. Try to imagine, you know, spreading the cement and holding the rifle. You know, that's literally what they had to do. They had to, you know, they had to build. At the same time, they couldn't put their weapons down because they were under constant harassment. So here it says Hashem it helps us build our walls, and our walls that will protect us. Okay. Now, we've been waiting a long time. Maybe these building plans take a long time. You know, you talk about building many times the building plans take many years till they happen, till it's done. So maybe they'll give up. Maybe it'll never happen. So therefore Hashem says no. Al titnu damiloch. Hashem is not going to rest, and he's not going to stop. Ad yikonen, until it will be established. Ad yasim Yerushalayim tehilo. And Yerushalayim will not just be built, it'll be the praise of the world. Now, when something is really important, you find Hashem takes an oath. That means that's like an idea of seriousness. So, and the most serious thing a person has is their right hand. If you remember, like when the temple was destroyed, we said, if I forget the Yerushalayim, I should forget my right hand. Like that's, it's crucial to a person's essence to understand what the Jewish people represent and what Yerushalayim represents. And if you forget that, you might as well forget your right hand. Nishba Hashem, Hashem swears by his right hand and by his arm of strength. Now, we've worked before in the past, for many, many times we worked to rebuild Eretz Yisrael, to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and it didn't always, in the end, the effort came to naught, or if other people ate of the things that we did. Jews went to different societies constantly, you know, whether it was in Spain, whether it was in Germany, whether it was in France, whether it was in Russia, and they worked on in those societies to build, to do the right things and to build up the country. And it didn't benefit us at all. It didn't benefit the world. Other people ate from the work that we did. And so people now are saying, join the building committee, join in the building. Well, what if we do it and all that work, other people will benefit from it. So Hashem says, don't worry. This building, you're going to benefit from it. Oh, Michael Ivecha, it's not going to go to your enemies. And it won't be drunk by foreigners. So Hashem promised that if you donate to this cause, it won't go to waste. And I know the Jews, many of the Jews, you know, were very heavily, especially in the South, into the civil rights movement. And they are very frustrated that in some areas the blacks don't necessarily like Jews or don't necessarily are a source of anti-Semitism. And they feel like, well, we put so much work into helping them out, we figured we would have an ally because, you know, the Jews and the blacks were hated. So we put a lot of work into it. And it's questionable whether it was work that was responded to. You know, Jews in Germany volunteered to fight in World War I more than any other nationality. They were very proud Germans, the Jews in Germany. And the Germans didn't thank them for it. Not only that, that's where the Holocaust started. And so and the Jews in the communist countries, I think it was as high as either a third or two-thirds of the original Communist Party members were Jewish. And what did Stalin do? He got rid of every single Jew in the higher echelons of the Communist Party. Even though when it started, the Jews were very high and they led many of the countries. They was the Jews that led the satellite countries in Hungary and in Czechoslovakia, and they were run by Jews, Jewish communists. And Jews gave up their lives for socialism, communism, and then in the end, other people benefited from that. It wasn't the Jewish people that they thought there would be a new world order where everybody would be equal and there'd be no more anti-Semitism and no more. But it didn't. The work that was done on behalf of that society, other people benefited from it, not the Jewish people. And so here Hashem says, you join this building fund, you join this building committee, he guarantees you that strangers won't eat from it and drink from it. This work which you toil in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, that will belong to the Jewish people. Verse 9, Ki maso yochlu, and those that gather will eat, v'hilu as Hashem, and they'll praise Hashem, and v'kasem yishtu, and they'll get to eat and drink, v'chatzos kachi, in the holy courtyards. When we eat with a sanctity. We celebrate with a sanctity. Now, we'll be coming back, so we have to clear the way. We're going to be clearing the way and passing through. Create a path for people to come back. We talked about this before, that when you have a road or you create a road, you could trip on it. So you need to pull out the stones and you need to make it flat. And you need to make it so that the first person that walks through has a difficult time, but other people will have a smooth road. So our role is to create a path for the nations of the world to come to righteousness. And we have to clear the path. We have to clear out the stones. Hey, rimu nei sal amim. And then we can put up the sign that we're open for business, that it's time for the people to come to the truth and learn about truth. Hinei Hashem hishmiya el katzei oretz. And Hashem will announce to the edges of the world. And we talked about this also, that you know, 1,000 years ago, you would read this and you would say, how is Hashem going to communicate to the far corners of the world? Like the, it takes, the Pony Express takes a long time to get the message across. Now, the first time in history, all you got to do is go on the internet and you can announce to the whole world in seconds. It doesn't bother us, this concept anymore of instant communication. Whereas people that read this in ancient times, they would say it's impossible. It takes weeks and weeks of time to get to from one area to another. So Hashem says, no, the whole world will hear to the corners of the world. And they will hear Imru Labasio, the daughter of Zion. Again, we have this word Zion that's so prominent, the daughter of the... My commentary says that the children, that sometimes we start putting up the sign, we start the example, but we create the families and the future generations that will carry it on. In other words, whenever you build something, you don't just build for yourself, you build it for future generations. And so that's how I understood, like, now the Basion is like the children that we will have will carry on the torch and the banner, and they'll carry on the sign.
But usually it would say Benesi.
Yeah, he's focused on reproduction, propagation here.
That I don't know why it's not. We'll have to ask a grammar specialist why it's. In other words, you're saying you understand the concept of going to the next generations, but then why doesn't it say Benetzion? Why is it Bastion? Yeah, I hear that. And you want to know why it switches back and forth.
Yeah, he switches back and forth. That's and he does it throughout the whole book of Isaiah. There are sections that are where everything is feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've wondered about that for a long time, and then I figured out that whenever Yerushalayim is mentioned, that he switches to the feminine. Yerushalayim is feminine, I guess, because Ho'ir.
Well, we keep talking about Hashem being the groom and us being the bride, so the bride is going to be feminine for the bride. In other words,
the whole Jewish people.
But that doesn't answer why the daughter, but that answers why the bride. Yeah, that's interesting, though. I'd have to look at it. There are different reasons why, there are different discussions why sometimes masculine is and sometimes feminine. Sometimes you'll see when it talks like about punishment or about destruction, it'll use the masculine because that's war and that's, whereas the feminine will be more of used to good news and rejoicing and happiness. It's more considered more of a feminine. But I don't know. I'll have to look around. That's definitely worth studying. That definitely you'll uncover interesting things with that. But it did switch over here to the daughter of Zion. The children that are born from that, Hinei Yishechaba, and they say, your reward is coming. Hinei Skarito, the reward that we've worked towards, all the hard work that we've done. Again, people are reluctant to do work or to join because it's a long history and we've tried, people have worked hard and they've toiled and they've, planted with tears and they're waiting to reap with joy. And so that's the message is that the time will come. It's not gonna, don't give up. Hang in there. Hinei Skaru Ito, the reward will be there, and the work that you do won't be lost. The wages will be there. Verse 12, Kor Lahem Am Kadosh, and you will be called a holy people. You'll be called holy. Goale Hashem, and you would have been redeemed by Hashem. Hashem redeemed you, saved you from the nations. Lecha Yikarei Derusha, and you will be called a city that is sought after. Instead of being rejected, instead of being made fun of, instead of people boycotting you and looking down upon you, people will come to you seeking you out to learn about the ways of Hashem. Lecha Yikra Drusha, here, a city, Lo Nezava, you won't be forsaken, you won't be rejected. you know, the Jews were sent into exile into big other nations and looked at their capital cities and looked at their values. And every day we daven, when will Yerushalayim be rebuilt? When will our city, the city that stands for Hashem and the city that stands for righteousness, when will that happen? And they never gave up hope. And, you know, it's interesting, when, you know, Herzl came along, people said, you're a dreamer, it'll never happen. And, you know, we live in a time where, you know, there are Jews in the land of Israel, and we are back. And some of it did happen. And so we're waiting for the full part of it, where Yerushalayim will be a city where we need that the husband will come home, so to speak, that Hashem will make Israel the country and the city where his presence is felt, where his ways are known, where righteousness will flow out like a flaming torch, like the symbolism that's all mentioned here. And we look forward to it, hopefully speedily soon.
Amen. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.